today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Have a listen to this. This has just come through. A lot of it's just come through this morning. This American tariffs of steel and aluminium from Australia, 25%. It's going to be, it's described here as Trump's trade wreck. I'll just take firstly from the Courier Mail today. Global markets have tumbled as United States President Donald Trump vowed to forge on with aggressive trade policy despite the risk of a recession. Australia's ASX 200 index closed down 0.9%, 7-month low, 7,890, wiping $25,000 million off its value after United States stocks dived overnight Monday. Now, the Australian market had fallen more than 9% from its mid-February high of 8,615 points. Despite the start of interest rate cuts by the Reserve Bank, the latest share market rout came as the Trump administration determined to press on with its aggressive trade policy, despite the increasing risk of an economic downturn amid concern that tariffs will lift prices and potentially limit interest rate cuts in the United States. Wow, Wall Street, the S&P 500 fell 2.7%, lowest points since September. It goes on and on. The tech-heavy NASDAQ fell 4%, biggest one-day fall since back in 2022. Well, I've just put a call through to a gentleman with his finger on the pulse of these developments. He's the independent economist and vice chancellor's fellow at the University of Tasmania. Saul Eslake, good morning.
Good morning, John.
I don't know if it's very good, Saul. My God, a lot of people are very concerned about what's happening the last few hours as well out of the United States. What is going on, Saul?
Well, President Trump inherited an economy that was in pretty good shape, despite what he says. It had grown by about 3% in 2024, which is these days a pretty good number. The unemployment rate was around 4%, which is pretty close to full employment by US standards. And inflation, although it was still a bit higher than comfortable at around 2.75%, had come down from over 6%, and that had allowed the US Federal Reserve, which put its interest rates up by rather more than our Reserve Bank did, to cut them by a full percentage point between September and December last year. Trump is trashing it. You know, he is imposing policies which will force Americans to pay higher prices for a broad range of not just imported goods, but goods made in America that compete with those imports. That's what tariffs do. They allow domestic producers who aren't as efficient to charge higher prices than they'd be able to if they faced foreign competition. Consumers know it. Their expectations of what inflation is going to be over the next 5 years have risen by more than a percentage point since Trump came to office. Trump's policies are also creating an enormous amount of uncertainty what he's going to do. You know, it's going to be tariffs of 25% on everything from Canada and Mexico today, and then cars are going to be exempt, and then they're going to be put off for another month, and then they're going to be on. And what do people do when they're uncertain? You know, they sit on their hands. Mm. They put off making decisions. If you're a business, you put off decisions to employ people or to invest or open a new shop or plant. If you're a consumer, you put off buying a car or a house or maybe taking a holiday. And that is what is starting to happen in the United States. If the US goes into recession, which isn't guaranteed, but if it does, it won't be the recession that Paul Keating famously said they had to have. They didn't have to have it. It would be Trump's fault. But Trump doesn't care. I mean, he's not going to lose his job. The tech bros who bankrolled his campaign are not going to lose their jobs, although some of them have lost a fair bit of value of their companies in recent weeks because tech stocks have gone down a lot more than other stocks on Wall Street have done. It will disproportionately be the lower income workers in states other than California and New York who voted for him, who will be most hurt by the policies that he's implementing and the economic carnage that he is now causing.
Before the election, wouldn't there have been enough hints that he was unstable, that he was capable of doing such a destructive thing? I mean, internationally, the impact is still unknown, but there's any number of commentators saying this is going to have ripples worldwide, and so many of them can't be foreseen.
And it will. And, you know, I've been saying for a while, in fact, I've been saying since before the election in November last year, that the fact that Trump was likely to win it, and the fact that he ultimately did win it, and not only did he win the presidential election, but his party won both houses of Congress, that actually tells you something about the American people. Right? I mean, in 2016, the American people arguably didn't know that Trump was a self-confessed sexual predator. He wasn't at that stage a convicted felon. They might not have known how narcissistic and erratic he was, and they would have known that there were going to be adults in the room, you know, experienced policymakers, former generals and the like, who would constrain Trump's worst instincts. Mm. But in 2024, they knew what he was. They knew what he would be like. They knew that there would not be adults in the room to restrain his worst instincts, and yet they chose him as their commander-in-chief. That says something about the American people that I think Australians, Europeans, Canadians, Japanese and Koreans, people all around the world need to understand that the American people of today who chose Trump to be their commander-in-chief are not the same people as the ones who 80 years ago saved the world, including Australia, from fascism, and over the following 45 years stared down Soviet communism. They are not the same people as on whose behalf John F. Kennedy said in his inaugural address that Americans would pay any price and bear any burden in defence of liberty. They're not even the same people on whose behalf Ronald Reagan stood in front of the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. The Americans of today want walls built to keep out foreign goods, to keep out foreign people, and to keep out foreign ideas. And what Trump, and it's not just Trump, it's J.D. Vance and all the other people who are now surrounding him, they regard their traditional allies with contempt. I mean, you know, look at the way they're belittling Canada. Yes. Look at J.D. Vance's comment that the UK and France are just random countries that haven't fought a war in 20 to 30 years. Oh. You know, we haven't felt that invective, but Trump's decision to impose tariffs of 25% on Australian exports of steel and aluminium, which may well be followed by tariffs on exports that are much more important to us, like meat and pharmaceuticals and so forth, this is an unfriendly act.
Yeah.
It's the act. It's the sort of thing China did to us, right? And our political leaders need to see it and describe it as an unfriendly act towards one of very few nations with which America runs a surplus, towards a nation which is giving America foreign aid under the AUKUS program, against the only country in the world whose soldiers have fought alongside theirs in every war the United States has been in since 1917. We're the only one who can say that. And importantly, I think in this context, a country which is providing a lot of important services to the United States, in particular by hosting vital military bases on our soil that could be targets for an attacker at some point in the future. And I hope some government backbencher asks, probably not a minister, it would be inappropriate, but some government backbencher should stand up and ask in language that Donald Trump understands, how much rent are we getting for Pine Gap, Narunga, the Harold E. Holt station at Exmouth, which is where the US sends messages to its submarines and ships operating in the Indo-Pacific. How much rent are we getting for the facilities we're providing for squads of Marines that play exercises up in Tyndall near Darwin? You know, and that's the sort of language Trump understands, and he needs to hear it from Australia.
I've got to say, Saul, this has been an excellent commentary, excellent update. Appreciate this. Thank you.
You're more than welcome anytime.
Saul Eslake there, the independent economist and vice-chancellor's fellow at the University of Tasmania.